from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Number 4903. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Built Ford Sub Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number to get in for your calls if you so choose. We have been through the baseball, the football, the betting odds for the NFL season. We talked Jalen Brunson and Mark Cuban. So a couple of things to kind of just get us back on track. I'm going to start here. I know we started with the football, but I'm just going to start with the just kind of outline the baseball for the weekend, because the Mets win a game yesterday in Arizona that gets them, I really think, back on track. With the Braves losing to the Phillies, 3 sounds a lot better than 4, obviously. And now comes this series in Chicago where they need to go out and win. And I think when you look at the last 10 games, and there's no doubt that there were a couple of missed opportunities in there in San Diego and, of course, Wednesday in Arizona. But then again, you never know. If they wind up winning those games, you never know if you lose the next one. As it turned out, they go 6-4 against 3 very good baseball teams, and they have done well. The problem has been the Braves have played a little bit better than them. Maybe you get some help from the Phillies for this, you know, the length of the weekend. They did win yesterday. But the resolve that I think this team showed yesterday and what they've done for the last couple weeks, Willie, and then also we talked about the emotion you saw from Iglesias, from Lindor, from Winker, Alonso hitting the home run early. I think it's an up and down. It's an up and down sport. Mm. It's up and down reactionary sport. I feel pretty good about them going into tonight in Chicago.
Well, yeah, that's why I got to credit Francisco Lindor at the end of the game. He goes, "Hey, we can't take this White Sox team for granted." You mentioned earlier the Yankees lost one of them, right?
Yeah. So,
but they, I think the one word I like you to use was intensity. Right? Like, I think one of the biggest things to do as an athlete is to match your opponent's intensity. Doesn't matter what their score is, or I mean what their record is. It's about the level in which they play. You got to match that. Sometimes when you're going against a team that's not of your caliber, if they come out firing, ready to roll and doing things at a high level, and you're just taking it for granted, this is that sets you back, and it sets the belief of the team back. So I think it's just a matter of just being consistent, and hopefully they come out of it unscathed and dominant. Right? You don't have the momentum which is in their favor. Speaking about the Mets and going to Chicago and look like, I don't know, garbage, if you will. Mm-hmm. So they got to be able to get it done and move on into September with the momentum.
And not only did they beat the Yankees, did the White Sox, the one game they beat was the series opener, where if I don't remember the score, I want to say it was 14-4. Mm-hmm. Like they hung four, maybe it was 13 or whatever, but they had hung up double-digit runs on the Yankees that night, to where you're watching it saying, like, what the hell is this? You don't want that to happen. The one guy I really have failed to mention all week, and I think deserves a ton of credit now. I mean, we're almost into September. Carlos Mendoza, as a first-year manager, has really kept this group together.
Listening to him talk at the end of the game, especially in particular about Diaz, He goes, listen, we have faith in him. If he knows what's wrong and he's willing to fix it and he's willing to go back out there after blowing those two games and saying, hey, give me the ball, it's my command, and staying true to what he does in throwing the fastball and letting it get across play, and for him having command and showing resolve and winning the game, that just shows that he's a guy who has a pulse on his team, believes in his guys, and if they're able to play with the intensity and continue to rally, they want to start a lot faster. I thought Pete Alonso did a great job of hitting that home run in the second to kind of set the tone. But I think he does a great job of just believing in his guys and his guys believing in him, and it's working hand in hand.
Yeah, and then for the Yankees, they start with the Cardinals tonight at the stadium. Lost 2 out of 3 to Washington. I've gotten some help a little bit with the Dodgers playing the Orioles last night. LA won. So you feel good about the Yankees, even though they lost the 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. But this division is, it's been my opinion of this for a couple of months now. It's theirs to lose. They have not played great. I mean, they have played very average baseball for the last 2 months. So have the Orioles. And those are two teams with very high expectations. To me, it's time for the Yankees to get going again. And maybe they can't be the team that got to 28 games over 500. But they got to be better than average, and they've really just been average for a while now.
Well, they've been average, and it seems like they've taken their foot off the gas for a team who was, you know, they were the first team to get to 50 when we started over in April and May, and now it looks like they're kind of set back. I don't know what's going on. It's just a matter of there's a standard, and right now they're not playing to the standard of how we know they can play.
Yeah, and they'll take on a Cardinal team that has been okay, mediocre all season long, so maybe they can win. All right, to the football. This is how we started the show. And way back when it's 6 o'clock. And this is the weekend of, I mean, think of it this way. I know there's college football, so it's not an entirely accurate statement. But this is your last free football-free weekend in terms of the NFL. Because starting on Thursday night, the season does begin. And we were talking earlier about, like, what this week is for the players. What is the week? You know, we talk about when they're at the facility and the anxiety. How about the weekend going in? I see the Giants have a couple of days off. I think the Jets will have a couple of days off, too. Is this the type of last couple of days with the family you try and get together and you just kind of get all that out of your system, knowing the grind is about to start?
Yeah, when the grind starts for the family, the wives are now, they do double. Right, because as you know, when the wife's picking up the kids and kind of doing their list, you're still in the facility or at least walking off the field and trying to do rehab and meetings and all that stuff. So they understand the schedules for both, you know, the wife and family, you and the family changes. But I think for a lot of guys going into this season, I think the level of expectation to do well is starting to get heightened. I think the expectation that 12 is in the building and he looks great adds a different level of intensity. But I think for most guys right now, you try to take this weekend and you really try to, hopefully, if you're smart, turn off the phones and spend the quality time with your family. Because once next week comes around, you're probably as dialed in as you're ever going to be, just because you want the opener to go your way from an individual standpoint and a team standpoint.
And you obviously in Pittsburgh had huge expectations every year. This is kind of like last year. Obviously, they fell off very quickly with the injury. This is different, though. I don't feel like, and obviously they haven't been to the playoffs since Rex was here. The Jet fan hasn't felt this way since Rex's 2 championship years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a different feeling. You're walking around the building as a veteran. I mean, you're pretty fired up. You've got other pieces in that they've went inside. How about the rookies in terms of getting set for a big season, but also week one?
Well, they don't know what they don't know, so they're just going along for the ride. I think the difference between, I think, you know, you mentioned Rex and you Sal in the position he's in right now. The thing about if you're a Jet and you're on this team with Salah, the expectation right now is to win and go the distance. If that doesn't happen, you know the other side. They're going to blow it up, right? Because that's been all the lingo. So I think there's just a different level of focus and some anxiety behind it because they have a damn good team. They have a lot. They have core talent. So the goal is for the Jets to go to the playoffs and potentially the Super Bowl. If that doesn't happen, I don't know what the Jets look like next year.
Are you a Salah guy, or are you?
I am pro Salah. Yeah, I like him
a lot. Give me the pros and the cons, because I mean, it doesn't seem like there's much in between. People either think he can't coach, and other people think, like myself, I think he's fine because he's a defensive minded guy. Is he Vince Lombardi? No, not claiming that. But I think if the defense continues to play well, which I think they will, that his imprint on this team is there. And if Rodgers does what we expect him to do, I think it's going to be a complete team.
Yeah, I think he's a great manager of men. I think ever since he landed from San Francisco, his job was to revamp that defense and make it dominant. They're obviously on their way. I think the thing that has set this organization back with putting Saleh in a different light has been the issues with Zach Wilson. Like, you swung and pretty much missed on the young fella, and now he's off. And now we're you know, all our hopes and dreams are on a 42-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles. And there's a lot to be talked about the culture. Yes, I do believe the locker room is in a lot better shape than it used to be. I do believe there's a different tone and beat to the Jets solely because Aaron Rodgers is the ultimate pro and what he's able to do on the field. But moving forward, there has to be, and we talked about this during the break, if Aaron Rodgers is, for whatever reason, I know, and I hate to be a dark cloud, if last year happens again, where, how does the offense turn? And it has to go through Breece Hall. You have to be able to run the ball. And Nathaniel Hackett, you know, we talk about short leases. I mean, if he's not able to make things right now, then what is he doing in a building? And so that's another fair question. And those are all things Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas have to answer.
And I don't think you know this answer. Maybe you do. It was pretty evident, and I feel like it came out in the offseason, and we talked about this yesterday, that when a call would come in, Zach Wilson either wasn't allowed to or wouldn't change from the play call that came in, and where Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't like it, he's changing it, and he's going to do what he needs to do, what he sees. Would Tyrod Taylor have that freedom too?
That's a good question. I would assume he would have some leverage, right? He's played long enough, been in a part of enough, you know, big games. I don't know if he would have it to the extent of Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron Rodgers pretty much runs the offense.
Right.
Like, he's, when you watch a lot of those clippings when he's talking to Gary Wilson, you guys listen, just throw a go and I'll get it to you. Like, or do this, I'll make sure you get the football. I don't know if Tyrod has that, but I think he's a competent, efficient enough quarterback where if he sees something, you would think he'd be like, hey, I'm calling the time. I don't like that. I think he has that leeway.
All right. And with the Giants quickly, so it's been a wild offseason because we saw Hard Knocks with the Giants. We saw footage of Joe Shannon, Brian Daboll talking about a different, you know, maybe going after a rookie quarterback, making trades. We saw the whole thing with Saquon Barkley, how that unfolded. We saw them try to revamp the offensive line. We saw the trade for Brian Burns where they've improved their defense.
Yep.
There is a lot to ingest with the Giants or that we have in this offseason. And it comes to fruition next week against the Vikings. And I'm in the minority. I think they're going to be not a good team. I think they're going to be an average football team. I think the number of 6.5, I'm not sure if I'm going to take the over or lay off.
I'm going to take the over.
I'm definitely going over 9.5 on the Jets. I am taking that.
I agree.
I think the Giants are like an 8-9 win team. Not easy to get there, and I understand that, but I do think that the quarterback is, if he's, again, it's everything's if he's healthy. If he's healthy, I think he's better than we think. I think he's more of the guy we saw in 2022 than last year. And third year with Brian Daboll, and I think that matters. He has got to be, meaning the quarterback, Daniel Jones, has got to be chomping at the bit to just get out there and shut everybody up.
Yeah, get the stink away from
his
name. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I also believe, you know, with the Giants positioning, what do they look like without Saquon Barkley? Because I had mentioned yesterday that he's been the ultimate security net for Daniel Jones in his offense. When all else fails, give it to 2-6. Let him go to work for you. However, he's no longer in the building. He's over in Philly. He's now the op, if you will. So it's interesting from the standpoint, how does Daniel Jones look without him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does this offense look without him? They revamped the offensive line, as you mentioned. I love John Runyon Jr. I think that was a big acquisition for them. I also believe Daniel Jones at this point and Brian Daboll, There has to be like, kid, this is it. This is the final straw. Because you also got to understand, the Giants have to protect their side of the ball because I forgot the injury clause. If Daniel Jones gets injured, there's a boatload of money coming Daniel Jones away.
You got it.
So there's a different feel to how they got to approach him. So it's what's interesting the most is how much do they let this kid Malik Nabers go off, right? What does he look like? Jalin Hyatt, who I'm a big fan of, because I know I've seen him blow the top off of defense. So there's a lot of questions, but also you have to be optimistic that Daniel Jones have been in this position long enough where hopefully there's maturity. This has been something that's coming along where he can now come into be what Daniel Jones needs to be for this ball club.
I guess I'm really just banking on the Jones-Daboll year three. That, to me, just seems like a big deal. Maybe it's not, and maybe he'll be...
Well, it's also good. You know, Daboll's not afraid of wringing his neck.
Yeah, We've seen 100%.
He's going to hold him to the fire. Yeah. Like, kid, no, that's not how we play. Not how we play football here at that position.
And you mentioned Nabers. He didn't have Nabers. I mean, it's been him and Saquon Barkley for the most part. Saquon Barkley didn't have Malik Nabers to be able to play off of. And while Devin Singletary is not Saquon Barkley, I do think with Nabers now in the fold it opens things up, I would think, the way defenses are going to look at the Giant offense.
Yeah, well, I think the key to this offense is let's pretty much play behind the defense. This defense is going to win games. They're that good. They're strong enough up front where they can win games. The bottom line is when you look at Daniel Jones, even I know he didn't play a long time because of the injury, the two touchdowns, but he had six interceptions. Yep. He's got to be able to protect the football. He's able to protect the football, play behind the defense, and play efficient football. They're going to win more games than I think people anticipate.
If I didn't see it a couple of years ago, I wouldn't buy it. But I feel like it's in there. We'll see. It
has to happen.
Well, it doesn't have to happen, but I feel like they've got an opportunity to be a decent football team.
I think they're going to be way more respectable than the people who kind of give them credit for it.
I agree. All right, we'll get CeeLo in here one more time. Also, we can take your calls, 888-808-1019. Willie's also got a story he's been holding on to. We'll get to that coming up as well. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, back inside the Bill Ford Tubbs studio. It is Willie and Jerry, Willie Colon, myself until 10 o'clock. Mark Malusa's solo, they call him Moose Solo, come out of 10 o'clock on the radio side. Boomer and Geo will be back on Tuesday. Tuesday, I will be sitting back in that chair and
radio
doing
New
my
Year.
Thing.
I know I've said it a million times, but it really is.
It very much so is, because they will not take much time off until Thanksgiving, if any.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I mean. I mean, usually you get like a sporadic day here, but that's about it. They're here every day.
I was
day.
Trying to explain that to the other coaches on the football field last night, because they're, you're doing mornings again. I'm like, yeah, it's a busy weekend, but then once Tuesday hits,
I'm
that's
here.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah, no,
yep.
I understand. Well, you'll be around a lot, because Rutgers schedules.
Well, for you, yeah, but Boomer and Geo.
Yes. I don't
outside
know.
Outside of a golf outing of some sort, they probably won't take any time.
Right. That's what I mean by from time you get a sporadic day. I don't know that the conference schedule isn't out yet, but we'll the non-conference one is. There's going to be some time.
You know, I'll be ready when the time comes.
I know you will be, just like you are right now.
Yes. Brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. We will update the tragic story of Columbus Blue Jacket star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew, who were killed biking in South Jersey near their hometown last night. According to police, a driver of a Jeep Grand Cherokee hit the Gaudreaus from behind while trying to pass an SUV on the right that had moved over to make way.
Wait, time
out. Bikers. Okay, so you had
the
traffic
on the shoulder?
So, I don't know. I'll read it again slowly. Hit from behind. They were trying to pass. I'm sorry. The Jeep Grand Cherokee driver was trying to pass an SUV on the right.
Yeah.
The
SUV
had moved over to make way for the bikers. I'm assuming. I don't know. I'm assuming this was a one-lane road, and they probably moved over slightly if they were on the shoulder.
Wow.
And this Jeep Grand Cherokee guy, as we alluded to last hour, trying to pass on a one-lane road in a rush, maybe didn't see them on the shoulder, ends up hitting them from behind.
I gotta tell you, and this is not meant to be in any way, shape, or form funny. I don't know if I ever want to get on a bicycle again. Between what happened to Evan,
yeah,
stories like this, when I watch the bikers in New York City.
The coach that just passed away, he was on a bicycle.
I mean,
great night, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is just, you don't think of it. You think of a bicycle, not a big deal. It's dangerous as hell.
It's nighttime. This was in the 8 o'clock hour last night in South Jersey. Now, the driver is suspected of being under the influence of alcohol and has been charged with 2 counts of death by auto. There is an ongoing investigation. Both brothers were in the area to be groomsmen in their sister's wedding that was scheduled for today in Philadelphia. And Johnny's wife was listed as the maid of honor for that wedding. Now, Matthew, his brother, was also a hockey player and, like Johnny, went to and played at Boston College, even spent a little time with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, which is the Islanders AHL affiliate. So it's a hockey family, and Johnny was South Jersey hockey to the point where his nickname was Johnny Hockey. Started with the Calgary Flames before shocking many in signing with Columbus as a free agent a couple summers ago. Just turned 31 about 2 weeks ago, and in addition to his sister, his parents, and his wife, he also leaves behind a one-year-old daughter and a six-month-old son. So just as horrific and tragic a story as you can remember, really, involving a pro athlete. Obviously, there have been quite a few, but probably, unless I'm missing one since Kobe's passing, I'd imagine this is right up there. So obviously, we send our best out to the family of both brothers, and just a tragic accident. Moving on to the Mets from yesterday, it was a gut-check rubber game victory for them to follow up Wednesday night's disaster.
That's lined up the middle, and Perdomo can't get it. Base hit, and the Mets take the lead. Jose Iglesias bangs one up the middle to drive in the go-ahead run, and the Mets lead 3-2 in the ninth. Big-time base hit. OMG!
Gary Cohn of SNY was the decisive hit as Carlos Mendoza then turned to Edwin Diaz yet again. And this time around, Diaz threw 17 fastballs, just one slider, and pretty much blew away the Diamondbacks in the ninth, striking out a pair to lock down a 3-2 Met victory. So those mechanical issues, which plagued him coming out of the pen in game two of the series, took care of those in time for yesterday's game.
Yeah, I thought yesterday we had him after the game. We both agree what was going on. I came early today and work with them, and everything went fine today.
He looked like a different pitcher. Yeah. So Diaz takes care of business. It adds up to a series victory for Mendoza's club. Yes.
If that's how he's going to pitch as opposed to the other night, they're going to be in the hunt until the final week of the season. I do believe that.
Yeah.
But you just can't blow games like they have the last week.
It's, you know, they had a couple, right, they blew a couple games, but when you look at the big picture, they're playing good baseball.
No, that's what we said.
The other teams, unfortunately, have played better.
And just because they, you know, won these games after the, doesn't mean they would have won them had they won those other ones. And I understand that. And that was the point we were making before, is when you step back, you realize they've played really well.
They have.
The last couple weeks.
Home runs yesterday for Lindor and Alonso. Lindor's tied it in the sixth after he put on a 11-pitch at-bat, fouled off 5 pitches and a 2-strike count to go deep and tie the game up. And obviously, we heard the Iglesias big hit there. He's all fired up after he gets to first base, gesturing towards the dugout.
You know, I just able to come through for the team. You know, I've been grinding the whole series long. Played good defense for my guys, and I was able to find a hole and put the team in a really good position.
Also, David Peterson, excellent again. 7 innings of 2-run ball. He's got a 1.86 ERA across his last 6 starts, certainly solidifying his spot in the starting rotation. So, as we said, all things considered, 6-4 in the 10 games against the Orioles, the Padres, and the Diamondbacks. It leaves them 3 back in the wild card race, as the Braves did lose to the Phillies last night at Citizens Bank 5-4, and the Padres took a 4-1 loss to the Cardinals, who now come to the Bronx tonight, start of an interleague series with the Yankees, who had Thursday off. So that's the first of 3 tonight. You got Marcus Stroman and Eric Fetty on the mound. Pregame coverage 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. The Yanks are a game and a half up on the Orioles atop the AL East as Baltimore lost to the Dodgers out in LA last night 6-3. We've done a lot of Jets this morning. Joe Douglas and the Hassan Reddick holdout. Robert Saleh and Mike Williams being ready to go. Some Giants news this hour as Jordan Schultz reports they're bringing in Adoree Jackson for a physical today. Negotiations underway on a potential deal to return as they've been searching for a starting
corner. Wasn't he the one that used to go on with with BT? Didn't he used to go on the station every week? Does that sound right or no?
I think you might be right about
that. I'm pretty sure. Yep.
It was and they had like a Jackson. Really good relationship.
Yes. He was great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, I thought he was, when he got out of college, he landed in Tennessee, I thought he was going to be a stud. I thought he was going to be money good. I know he's dealt with some injuries, but maybe the Giants got one. We'll see.
So he's been with them the last three seasons. Obviously wasn't with them in camp. You got Deontay Banks on one side, and they had kind of some other young players or journeymen that they were trying to figure out. So we'll see if they get a deal done with him to bring him back ahead of the season opener. College football, we touched on Rutgers, the 44-7 home win over Howard to open up the season. He had the touchdown run on the final play of the game, which rubbed the Howard coach the wrong way. And if Greg Schiano basically said, you know, deal with it. We're getting our guys some reps here, and we paid you to come play us, and that's just the way it's going to be. You talked yesterday about the invention of the iPad and how much you thought that was a great thing, right? Even though you're not an iPhone guy, he loved the iPad.
He wasn't happy with my air fryer. He wasn't an air fryer guy.
He wasn't. But specifically on the iPad or tablets.
That's not what I said.
Miami of Ohio head coach Chuck Martin disagrees with you, hates the iPad and the tablet, especially on the sidelines of a football game.
I can get a 9-year-old kid to watch the play on iPad and say, listen, that guy was running wide open up the seam. We should cover him, right? Like, there's all the technology. It's you know, smart by the technology people that sell it. I hate all of it, so.
Hate it, and he says it's too easy and it's watered down his role and those on the coaching staff.
I used to like when you had a coach. Now I'm a coach. I got an iPad. I'd watch every single play right after it happened. Like, you used to have to make in-game adjustments. Now the iPad will make them for you. Pretty soon there'll be robots outside. You don't have to hire us. You'll be talking. You wouldn't even be talking to me. You know, it'd be great. Oh, this is great. This technology. Like, we'll have fake officials, fake players. Fake. It'll just be like playing NCAA 25.
You know? Wow.
Just like play video games.
But why is that any different than when they used to send the photos down on the wire?
Yeah, but
I know what he's saying, but
the photos were miserable because you would come off when you come off the sideline and my offensive line coach would be like, hey Willie, what happened on this block? You would have to go. It was like one flip, two flip, missed block. What happened here? It's raining. The paper is getting rumbled. He's pissed off, so it gets crumbled. It looks like a whole different play by the time it gets out of his back pocket. So it's like it had to evolve for the sanctity of the game,
right?
For to have some type of clarity about what you need to do, how you need to do your job, and what you need to do. So I'm glad we don't have the papers anymore. Right. And then sometimes the papers would come out late, and then like if the defense got a interception, you had to be right back on. Like now it's a whole new paper thing. So it's. I'm glad we got the iPad.
No, me too. My point is, if he hates all the technology, it's not like you couldn't look at this stuff on the sideline anyway. It was just a different way to look at it.
I suppose.
So, and
those were still pictures on the tablets. Is it still images or is it video?
One, it's probably maybe a little more advanced, but when I was with the Jets, they were still. But however, even before that, when the guys used to give you the photos, they had a runner. There was a runner that had to go behind the bench, get those papers, come back to it. And then sometimes it would blurry. Sometimes you'd be missing pages. It was just chaos on the sideline.
The one thing I don't like, and not that I don't like it, what I don't think is fair are the iPads or the tablets with the baseball teams where a batter can really study what the pitcher is doing that particular day. That doesn't seem fair to me to the pitcher. I mean, I guess they could do the same thing. But to me, the advantage is batter more so than pitcher.
Yeah, I agree
and
with that.
And that second and third time around, maybe you pick something up by watching so many.
Why they get the starters out of there, I bet that's part of it.
It could be.
They're honing in on little details. Yeah. What's the sequencing? How are they setting me up? All that stuff.
Certainly possible.
Yeah. All right, here's Shaq with Allen Iverson Shaq's podcast, the big podcast.
The big podcast.
So I had completely forgotten there was one season of Lakers basketball featuring Shaq, Kobe, and another Lightning Rod Hall of Famer near the end of his career, which Shaq will allude to here.
Shaq, Kobe, Dennis on the same team. Who's the biggest superstar?
Superstar?
Yeah.
You?
No.
Kobe?
Dennis Rodman.
I know that. I mean, I heard all the stories.
Bro.
You told me some stories now.
Now, Shaq shared one of those stories about Rodman basically just rolling out of bed, hitting the glass, and then hitting the town.
He'll come in with 40 minutes on the clock, eating chicken and rice, not paying attention. Doing it in the middle of the meeting, take a cold shower, not paying attention. We go out first, and he'll come out, give you 25 rebounds, stinking like a... Put his clothes on and go to the club and had the baddest woman I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, this would stink like he smelled like garbage truck water. And he got he got models on him at the club. Like, I was a party guy. I thought some party, I had some things, but I ain't never seen what I seen with Dennis Rodman. I was actually mad. Not because he had the girl. I'm like, this ain't even watch his.
So the stink worked for Rodman, our pal Evan Roberts with the no deodorant. Yeah,
not so good.
No models hanging off his arms.
We talk about Derek Jeter's girlfriend roster. I mean, Rodman had some smoke shows.
He's Carmen Electra.
He He's dated other models and actresses. So he's been that guy for a long time. Now, the hygiene is just, his nickname's the Worm.
That is gross, though.
Playing an NBA game and you don't shower and then you're hitting the club?
Well, he said he stunk before he went in and played.
He said he took a cold shower, but I guess eating the chicken and the rice. I don't know exactly, but yeah.
CeeLo, didn't we witness Rodman at the airport in Vegas walking out with a similar type of scenario?
I forgot about that. Yeah, we
did. He stunk
all disheveled.
But he had an entourage with him, and it was, I don't remember what time of day it was, but it was not a normal time of day.
Time doesn't exist out there anyway. Right. So.
You know what's funny about that? You mentioned Rodman. What is he known for with the hair, right? Yeah. What was Evan known for this summer?
The beard.
The colored beard.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Did you ever see those photos?
The colored dye. Yeah.
He was dyeing his beard?
Yeah. Well, because...
Oh, he was dyeing his beard all
just for men style?
Well, the thing was, he said he wasn't going to shave until the Mets extended Pete Alonso.
Okay.
And then when that didn't happen, he was trying to get out of the bet. He said, what if I dye the beard, the whole week, different color, can I shave it then? But then Alonso basically told him, no, you can't. You gotta stick with it. So it became a whole thing.
All right, so here...
Okay.
Eventually, he did get out from
here's
under.
Here's Evan with the blue beard.
Jesus.
Here's Evan with the green beard.
Oh, that's not it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, here's Evan with the red, purple, and orange beard. And here's him in the purple beard.
Yeah, the red beard is probably the decent one, I guess.
I mean, this is really something. I mean, he looks like... Rodman's hair is on his face.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So that is looking human.
That is Rodman is strange, too.
Yeah.
Rodman's an icon. I'm not surprised by those stories.
I would agree. Tour championship, Scottie Scheffler, who began with an advantage already in the final event of the FedEx Cup playoffs, goes with a 6-under 65 yesterday. That gets him at 16-under, already a 7-shot lead after round one at Eastlake.
I also wonder how much Rodman had to be prepared, because all I felt like watching Rodman, and I don't mean with the Pistons.
Especially that was his second to last season of his career.
Later in his career, that's what you would sign him for. All I felt like he did was run up and down the floor and go after loose balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he even need to know what the
plays not.
Were? I wouldn't think so either.
No.
Basically, just go get yourself in position, read the ball, and try and figure out the carom.
Who else was on that team? Was Carmelo and Gary Payton on that team, too?
They might have been.
Possible.
Yeah, so Rodman's like, listen, I'm just here to make the donuts. You guys take care of the rest.
Yeah,
we got Shaq and Kobe.
He don't want to score.
He's not getting the ball. He's not looking to do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right, let's do Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, remind you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
Moment of the Day.
So we had a historic upset at the U.S. Open Thursday, and thank God for the ATP website and their player pronunciation feature, or else I would have been screwed this morning. I'm not even going to try and say the guy's name, so here he is saying it himself.
John
Boutique
McEnroe.
Van de Zandschulp. Boutique Van de Zandschulp. Boutique Van de Zandschulp.
That's the dude who beat Carlos Alcaraz in straight sets.
Bogus Van de Danschulp.
Boutique Van de Zandschulp.
Boutique.
Not
that a name?
Boutique Van de Zandschulp.
The phonetic Boutique Van de Zandschulp.
Play it one more time.
Boutique. Well, he's kind of using the European side.
Boutique Van de Zandschulp.
He's Dutch, and he beat Alcaraz in straight sets.
It sounds like a foot rash.
Doesn't it sound...
Doc, what do I have?
Our guy Pat Boyle's tweet, because he's there covering the U.S. Open. So,
Botic van de Zandschulp
has been so horrendously bad the last 12-plus months, he's been considering retiring from tennis at age 28. And he beats Alcaraz in straight sets last night.
That's got to be one of the biggest upsets in U.S. Open history,
so. Yeah. Wow. It's got to be up there for sure.
You know what that's called? Playing down to your competition.
Mm. Oh, like the Mets in the
Yankees. We were talking about.
There was Jerry to bring it all full circle for us. Nicely produced there, Jerry.
How many times did you try to pronounce the name before you realized I can go get the guy pronouncing? No?
I don't even waste time anymore.
Really?
I have that feature on, it's the men and the women.
So
the
that's
women
it.
At WTA. Yeah. If it's there, that little speaker icon's next to the name, that's where I go. Now, in this case, I could actually play it instead of trying to pronounce it. But I always go to that.
Give it a try. No, don't play it. Give it a try.
Hold on. I got to look. I need to get where the
name
is. You
just heard it eight times.
Needs a little prep there.
Where did I write it?
CeeLo, by the way, continue to wear shorts. I hope I didn't discourage you from that.
I don't. I've been doing it long enough.
I'm sorry.
Like I said, I don't disagree with your take. Like I said, I said I have a low opinion of myself. It is what it is.
I thought about that. I was like, I don't want you to stop wearing shorts.
Oh, trust me. I won't. Boutique van de Zandschulp. How's that?
It's not terrible.
That's how it was written phonetically.
Botik van de Zandschool.
Van de Zandschool.
They kind of slur their way through it a little bit. You know, you can't really decipher the
That's
the
how
syllables.
He says it, yeah.
Yeah.
Great job. We will see you in a few months.
Hey, it was fun. Willie, I'll see you over at SNY.
Till next time.
Yeah, man. Maybe I'll wear shorts to SNY, and then you'll be able to point me out easily. How's that?
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't wear shorts again ever in my life.
Mike Fliegelman's got a great question. I don't know why you just say it, because I like this question.
Now that you guys have had these few days together, will you say hello to Willie at SNY?
That's what I just said. I said, I'll see you at SNY. Yeah.
No, no, no. But you've seen him before. He's asking, will you talk to him now?
Yes. When I say I'll see you at SNY, we'll acknowledge each
Could
other.
Could you imagine
this
if I say nothing?
Blow him off.
Cold shoulder me, right? Just walk right by me.
You're like, hey, Will. I'm just like,
you look familiar.
I'm like, what's your name again?
Who are you? Right. You play the role of Mark Cuban. I'll be Rick Brunson. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay.
Very funny. All right. We will see you. Maybe we'll golf again in the next week or
Sounds
so.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll take a quick break. I know Willie's got a story for us on the other side. We got Musola coming up at 10. It's an action-packed Friday here on The Fan. Coming back on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's The Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, 10 in front of 10. It is Labor Day weekend Friday, final unofficial summer Friday, and we're that close to the first Cool Games Friday, NFL Friday, which is nuts. Football Friday. Bill Forte of Studio Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo.
Yeah. What did you do? Just pointed at me.
Because you said you had a story you wanted to tell me.
Oh, I do. I just thought it was going to be set up. He was like, and you're on.
Okay. Willie,
no,
so
I'm
so sorry.
We've been talking about the story I've been trying to get off my chest. Wednesday, I felt so good. First of all, I love working with you, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Nice.
I'm not just saying that because we have an audience.
Feeling neutral?
Right. I really felt good about Wednesday. So I literally walked out of here, and we talked about it behind a curtain. I parked illegally, praying that I didn't get a ticket, and I didn't get a ticket. So I was extremely happy
That's a
with
win.
That. So a win-win. And so I said, let's go for the trifecta here. And I was like, called the wife. Because we've been on the road and it's going crazy prior to the show, me landing here with the show. I was like, hey, you know, the kids are in school. You want to do a little horizontal boogie? She was just like, yeah, okay. So I was like, all right. So got home, did the 1-2. And, not, you know, it was weird because we talked about Edwin Diaz not being a closer.
Right.
Willie Colon was a closer. And it was outstanding. And so I felt really good about that. And the wife felt good about that, too. So I'm like, all right, good. Today's a good day. Wednesday. Everything's going extremely well. And then the wife was like, listen, well, I got some time. I'm going to run and go get tidied up. I think she wanted to get her hair, you know, feet and nails done, whatever. And I was like, fine. So I actually had time to go to the gym, shower, having a great man day. We both had things to do, so we did it. After all that, the wife was like, you know, the kids are about to get out of school. Let's go get something to eat. I was like, fine.
I mean, this couldn't be going better.
Yes, right? Yeah. So get the kids. They're in a good mood. The wife's in a good mood. We go eat. Everything's going well. We eat. The wife, for some reason, it's a Southern thing. I don't know if you guys agree with that. People in the South need something sweet after dinner. Is that a Southern thing?
I don't know that it's a Southern. I mean, that sounds about right.
No, I've heard that before.
Yeah,
it's not. I don't think it's necessarily a Southern thing.
Yeah. So my wife always has to have something, a sweet treat after dinner. Which I mean, we've had a 4-course meal. Like, why do you need something extra? But that I've become accustomed with getting something sweet. So the kids, we were at the mall. So the kids, there's a Häagen-Dazs in the mall. So my wife's like, let's get the kids a scoop of ice cream. I'm like, what am I going to say no to that? So no. And it's funny because we had talked about being lactose intolerant
right. That
day as well. I didn't do the ice cream because I know how my stomach set up. Mm-hmm. It would have ended right there for me. So anyway, when you give kids sugar, the best thing after that is to let them burn that off because they're fired up. So we went to, there's these playrooms now. It's a very suburban thing where the kids no longer play in parks or public and socialize. They go to these like romper room type situations and parents pay like $20 for the kids to go absolute bonkers for 30 minutes. So this is the problem. We get there. And you cannot have your sneakers on because it's like turf. The kids need to run around with socks. Well, I wear a size 17. There's no socks for me to participate. So the wife was like, I'll go in with the kids and you stay on the outside. So I'm on the outside just twiddling my thumbs. To the left of me, there's like this little circle divider full of massage therapists, right, of the Asian persuasion, right? And so I walk over there. I'm like, I got 30 minutes to burn while the kids, you know, throw up on a jungle gym. Let me see what's up. Go over there. And there was a man who looked me in my eyes, and he was like, do you want to come in? I was like, yeah, I'll do 25 minutes. I'm straddling this contraption. I'm sitting down, like hovering over it. had my face buried in this black leather donut. Mm-hmm. And he begins to massage me. And it's a great day. And I abruptly yell, harder. Why did I choose that word? But I was just like, harder. And I kept saying it. I don't know why it kept falling out of me. So he hears me. He goes, okay. He now, hockey style, picks my... I'm in the middle of a mall. Like, there's like a frozen yogurt spot. There's a jeans store. Like, I'm in the middle, straddled over this thing, facing a donut. And he takes my shirt and flips it over my head like if I'm in a hockey fight. Right? So my back and everything's exposed. Butt crack definitely exposed because I can feel the wind whistling off it, right? And the guy takes out this hot oil. And I don't know why he did it so close to my ear, but I heard it like hit right there. And he begins to get after it. Like game 7 of the NBA Finals type intensity. I mean, he hits me with a thumb elbow forearm combo right in between my scapula, and he's working it.
And good though.
Oh, I start to moan. I'm moaning and making sounds. It's amazing. And so I didn't know, just for the state of the, for the purpose of the story, I call him Asian Ricky, right? I'm like, Asian Ricky's working me right now and he's doing a hell of a job. And this goes on for about 15 minutes while I start to doze off. I actually start to kind of pick up a snore.
Oh boy. Right?
So my phone is now in front of it. Like I can see my phone right here. And Asian Rickon goes, oh, sir, somebody's yelling your name. And I'm just like, who? And I can hear, Willie. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I'm like, don't stop, Asian Rickon. Keep going, right? Just keep going harder. He's like, no, sir, you need to. So I pick my face up out of donut. My wife is to the, like, a good yard away from me, holding my child without any pants. My son only has a top on, no pants, and a roll of paper towel sheets wrapped around his waist. And my wife is looking at me with the anger.
Disgust.
Just pissed off. And she's like, I've been calling your phone. Where's your phone? And I'm sitting there like, I'm getting a massage with Asian Rick. Like, what's the problem? Like, the kids, for me, the kids are having fun. You're watching the kids. Everything's good. She goes, your son just blew through his pants.
Oh, poor thing.
We talked about lactose intolerant, right?
Oh,
the kid
no.
had to go to the bathroom. There was an old lady in the bathroom. The old lady took forever. Oh. The kid's butt cheeks gave up on him, and he blew his pants right out. So it's all over the place. She goes, I got poop on me. The kid got poop on him. She goes, grab your son, and we got to get home. So I'm just like, oh, okay. So I turn around. Throw my car to Asian Ricky, grab the kid, right? Poop dripping down his damn foot.
Oh, God.
And I'm running to the damn parking lot with a kid as if I kidnapped him, right? Nobody knows I'm a big man. Kid has no pants. Why am I running in the parking lot with a kid? It's insane. Get home, and my wife is furious. Everything that I accomplished through the day
is just gone.
Out the window. My kid's embarrassed. He's not talking to me. The wife is now mad at me because she's like, why wasn't your phone on? I was just like, well, in the studio, it has to be on silent. Mm-hmm. She was like, you do not know how to turn your phone. I'm like, I forgot. She's like, oh, so you forgot. Wife's now mad at me. So I go to, the only one left in the house is my daughter. My daughter's mad at me because she wasn't ready to leave. And she feels like it's my fault.
She was having a good time.
She was having a good time.
Oh.
It all started so good, and it all ended so bad.
What a great day that you used this this sound before.
Womp, womp. Womp, womp. And it was just like, it reminded me, it was a very Met-like day. I rallied, things went well, and it poured.
You know what the moral of the story is? Quit while you're ahead.
You're right.
You should have just capped it at dinner, and we'll have cookies when we get home.
I tried to, but the wife was like, everything, we're having a great Wednesday. And it was all ruined.
You blew it because you wanted the massage. But I don't blame you. You figured everything was taken care of for the next half hour.
So first of all, this is the little knock I hate too. So if you don't have sneakers, you must have socks on, right? The socks don't fit me, so I'm not going to buy some socks I can't fit. And then the guy that was handling the little situation, he was just like, well, if you're not going to buy the socks, you know, you got to keep this area clear. So I got kicked out essentially. Yeah. So what was I going to do?
No, I have no issue with what you did.
Okay.
The problem is your phone was off. So I could see her being annoyed, but you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the kid to, like, ruin his trousers. Not at all.
That's a rough trip to the mall.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.